chapter 6, and I have 5 verses. So if you want to follow along. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Now, when you read about this, they're the ones that secured the doors. They were scared. They had heard about the Israelites and they were scared of them. So, verse 2, then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men, and do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priest blowing the trumpets. Verse 5. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in." Title of my message this morning is "When God Doesn't Make Sense." When God doesn't make sense. Now let me begin with this question. Have you ever experienced a scenario in your life where God just did not make sense, Sister Sunny? Yeah. Maybe you're thinking to yourself now, well, I don't know if I want to answer that or not, because I don't want God to think that I'm not trusting Him or that I'm doubting Him, so I'm just not going to answer that. Now, you know God already knows, okay? Yeah. Or maybe you're thinking to yourself, well, I don't want to answer that because I don't want to sound unspiritual, you know. Well, I'm going to answer it for you, and I'm going to say yes. Yes, there have been times when God just did not make sense. We're talking about Almighty God here. And maybe I should just clarify that then. There are times when what God is saying to me, Brother North, or telling me to do, or telling me where to go, Brother Tony, or telling me what I shouldn't do, or it just doesn't make sense. In other words, it is not logical. It doesn't fit into my "this is how I do it" box. We can understand then how most of the problems that the children of Israel had was with the fact that God very often did not make sense to them. Many times God directed them to go a direction or to do a thing that just did not make sense to them. When God led the children of Israel out of Egypt, instead of taking them a shorter way, He took them the long way around, and He led them directly to the Red Sea. Now, let's be honest about it. That did not make any sense. 10 different times, the children of Israel angered God through their stubbornness and through their rebellion, and it was basically because God did not make sense to them. Now, here's what's recorded in Job 19:3. "These 10 times have you reproached me. Ye are not ashamed that you make yourselves strange to me." Now, I'm no expert on this, but I've come to believe that the most important thing in the heart of God concerning His children is this. He wants to be believed, and He wants to be trusted. And I love every one of these songs today. "Lord, I'm trusting You. I'm believing You." How awesome. And He will do things, listen, and He will direct His children then to do things that don't make sense to them. Sometimes I can say that God doesn't make any sense to me when He is silent. Sometimes I can say that God doesn't make any sense to me because it seems that He isn't doing anything, Brother North, about my problems. Sometimes God doesn't make sense to me because He asked me to do something that hurts my pride. Oh my gosh. And if the question is there ever a time when God doesn't make sense to you? My answer is most of the time. Now watch this. Did it ever make sense? Did it make any sense to Naaman that he could go dip in a muddy river called Jordan and he could be completely cleansed from leprosy? And just looking at our text this morning, did it make any sense for the children of Israel to get up every morning and then go out and walk silently around Jericho? Except for the blowing of the ram's horns once every day for 6 days and 7 times on the 7th day, and then to shout. Listen, did it make any sense for Peter to go fishing to get money to pay his taxes? Yet, guess what? He found money in a fish's mouth. Did it make any sense then for Jesus to spit in the dirt and make mud and put it on a blind man's eyes and then tell him to go wash it off? Well, it worked. Did it make any sense for Peter to simply throw his net down on the other side of the boat after he had fished all night, Brother Gary, and caught nothing? Did it make any sense for Elisha to throw a stick in the water where an iron axe head had fallen in, expecting it to float to the surface? But guess what? It did, and it floated back up. And the young servant grabbed it and could continue with his work. So I'm going to ask the question again, are there times when God doesn't make sense to me? My answer, of course, is yes, absolutely. And I'll even go so far as to say to you that most of the time, God does not make sense then to me. Let's go a little bit further. Does it make any sense to you that you can take a piece of cloth and pray over it and put some anointing oil on it, and when it's placed on someone, that evil spirit would leave them, that disease or whatever it might be, and their bodies would be healed? Does that make any logical sense? It doesn't. Does it make any sense that with your mouth you can say, in Jesus' name, I draw the bloodline, and demons have to stop in their tracks? And remember, they cannot cross the bloodline, Brother North. We have forgotten to do that. You see, I've learned something about God. What we want from God is sense. But what God wants from us is faith.
Amen. Amen.
And walking with God, and listen, God is not a sense God, He's a faith God.
Amen.
And walking with God is not a sense walk, it is a faith walk.
Amen.
We are to walk by faith and not by the natural senses, our eyes. We're not to walk by sight. And I believe then we have missed our greatest blessing and our greatest breakthroughs in our lives because we would not do, or we would not say, or we would not go when and where God said. Why? Because it simply did not make any sense. Now, I read this story many years ago, and it came back to me as I was working on this message. There were these two ladies that had been friends. They had not seen each other for quite a while. One of the ladies was very, very wealthy. One, just you would say middle class. She got by, but she was not as wealthy as the other person. And so the one lady that did not have just a whole lot, she was sitting at the table outside a little coffee shop on the sidewalk at there having her coffee. And she looked up. She had not seen her wealthy friend in quite a while. And coming down the sidewalk, this lady comes. And there was something in her spirit that said, you need to buy her lunch today. Now, this lady sitting at the table, she questioned God. She said, God, that don't make any sense. This lady's wealthy beyond what I could even think about. She can buy her own lunch. He says, no, I want you to buy her lunch today. Okay, Lord. So they recognized each other. She sat down. And as they were talking, she said, I want to buy your lunch today. This lady across the table just broke out crying, sobbing. And she says, you know, she says, a lot of people, I'm wealthy, I buy people, do a lot of things for a lot of folks. But no one, because they know that I'm wealthy, they don't think I need anything. And so therefore, nobody ever does anything for me. And she says, I was walking today and shopping, and she says, Lord, would you just do something? Would you just have somebody buy my lunch today for once? Now, what if this other lady had not obeyed?
Amen. Amen. That's
right. It did not make sense to that lady. We want God to be logical. But guess what? He wants us to be obedient.
Yes, He does. Yes, He does. That's right.
We want God to explain everything to us before we move. But guess what? God wants us to move without Him explaining anything.
Yes.
And yes, there is a possibility that there were some scientific equations and hypotheses that went into the walls of Jericho coming down. There is a possibility that scientifically, somehow the continuous blowing of the ram's horns and the single stored up shout created a massive sonic sound wave that disrupted the molecules that held the wall together and it fell down. That's possible. But guess what? God did not have a scientific conference with Joshua. He did not explain to him all the scientific details of his commission. He just told him what to do. And guess what? Joshua did it. Understand then, that's how God works. He gives the orders, no explanations, and He leaves it up to you and me to obey then or disobey. It's possible that there were some kind of healing ingredients in the mud in the Jordan River that attacked leprosy. I said it's possible. But even if that is true, God did not explain to Naaman. He just told him to go and dip. The point is, God knows all of the logistics of why He does what He does, the way He does, and when He does it. But He doesn't require from us a logistic agreement with Him. He just requires our faith and our obedience. Well, so Pastor, what about for us today? Well, let me just answer that for you. I believe we have entered the time and are now living in such a time that our very survival may hinge on the simple obedience to God's directions, even when they don't make sense. You get up on Monday morning, you get dressed, ready to go, and there's a little voice somewhere down deep. You don't need to get out today. You need to stay home. But Lord, this is what I do on Monday. I do this and this and this.
Come on.
Or He may say, take another route.
That's right. Come on.
Lord, that don't make sense. It's 5 minutes right down the road. You're telling me to go this other way. It don't make any sense. Or he may say, make this phone call today. Check on that person. Well, now, Lord, I was going to do that at the end of the week. You see, I'm busy today cleaning my house, taking care of my dogs, cleaning out the cat litter. Spraying my house good with Glade before anybody walks in where they won't smell my dogs. But Lord, you tell her, okay, I'll do it. In the last 2 years, it seems like we have been on a roller coaster ride in this country. And many times we haven't been able to make sense of what God has been doing or not doing. Can you be honest and say amen to all this COVID mess? But I believe I have a revelation about that. And I believe that God has been allowing us to feel that way, to bring us to a place where we can walk in simple obedience.
Amen.
God calls that, Brother North, faith.
Yes.
He calls it faith. God wants us, in a sense, to close our natural eyes and just trust Him.
Yes.
The question is, can we do it? He wants us to obey Him, even when and especially when it does not make any sense. And if we ever get this principle, listen, I believe it will be wonderful, because we will realize that it takes all the weight off of our shoulders. We don't have to understand then the mechanics or the scientifics of it. All we have to do is do it. Would you look at your neighbor and say, just do it? God told Moses to stretch out the rod over the sea. All we have to do is trust and obey. But God, why? Why do that, God? What's the logic behind that? Well, God, which end do I point? Well, Lord, how long do I have to hold it out there? Well, Lord, what is the angle that I'm supposed to hold it at? Well, Lord, how is holding my rod over the sea going to affect the water? But understand something with me, that God doesn't get involved in any of that. He just says, do it. Just do it. At the wedding ceremony with his mother, he told them to fill the water pots with water. But Jesus, they're asking for wine, not water. Just do it. Can I tell you something? As believers, our biggest problem then is not with the devil. Our biggest problem, I believe, seems to be with God. Why, God? Why? Sister Diane just told us like it was. Why, God? Why? When, God? When? How, God? How? You know, I was... And I was reminded of the most amazing song. We sang it many years ago and at different times. Here's the way it goes. I'll say, yes, Lord, yes.
To your will and to your way.
I'll say, yes, Lord, yes. I will trust you and what? Obey. When your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree. And my answer will be what? Yes, Lord, yes. So let me ask, what do you do when God does not make any sense? When He doesn't move the way you want Him to move? When healing then comes in stages instead of instantly? When the financial breakthrough seems like it will never come? When the children that you've prayed for and wept over and travailed over seem farther away from God than ever before. When you drop your ballot in the box, but you don't get who you voted for. What do you do? What is then the correct response? Well, here it is. You keep on praising Him. And you keep on thanking Him for His goodness and for His love and for His mercy. You acknowledge then that He knows what He is doing and you trust His timing. The main thing is that we keep praising Him because, watch this, praise is that voice of faith. And I'll get more into that next week, part two. Sometimes God says, march. Sometimes God says, stand still. Sometimes God says, be quiet. Sometimes God says, shout. Sometimes God says, wait for the waters to part. Sometimes God says, Brother North, to step in so the waters can part. Sometimes God says, run to the battle. Sometimes God says, wait for the rustling of the mulberry trees. Sometimes God says, go. Sometimes God says, stop or stay. Sometimes He says, yes. Sometimes He says, no. And sometimes He says, not right now.
That's right.
But as we've said before, remember, delay is not denial. Sometimes what God tells you to do will be the most illogical move that could possibly be made. In Joshua chapter 3, the Jordan River was at flood stage, the Bible says. And God told Joshua, I'm going to take you across. Joshua said, well, hallelujah, how are you going to do it, Lord? God said, you tell the priest that bear the ark to take off their shoes. And with the ark on their shoulders, they wade on out into the raging flood waters. That wasn't very logical, was it? And I can almost hear Joshua saying, well, Lord, that just don't make any sense. Do you have a plan B that we could consider? But guess what? Joshua obeyed. And the priest stepped in, the Bible says, and the waters parted, and they crossed to the other side. Praise God. In closing, Ruth, would you come? Hallelujah. I don't know what crazy, illogical thing God might be asking of you. But as I end, I can tell you this. Your miracle, your healing, your breakthrough is on the other side of your obedience. Even when it don't make sense. I want to tell you two stories right quick. And then we're going to stand together and pray. Two ministers that was a part of our lives. They've both have gone to be with the Lord. One, many of you will remember, that was with us back in between 1995 when we started and 2005. We were on the old Nike missile base and we were there for 10 years. People thought we were crazy, thought we were a cult. We had barbed wire on the top of the fence. Had Doberman pinchers there that after church we let them out to roam. And the owner of the property that lived there on the property with us was part of our church at that time. And of course, he did that because people would just drive up and go through some of these old buildings out there, steal the copper wiring. So guess what? The Dobermans prevented that from continuing. And so we got to meet a minister friend by the name of Brother Jim Hester. And he, for many, many years, he was the pastor of Arlington Christian Center over on Barden Road. They supported missionaries all over the world. And so when he retired, the next pastor did not have that same vision of supporting all of those missionaries. So Brother Hester, he took it on himself. He said, "Lord, I'll continue preaching if you'll help me fund those missionaries." And so he did. He went on preaching, evangelizing, strictly for the benefit of being able to send money to support all of those missionaries all over the world. So it came close to the holidays, and his wife, Joanne, her nickname was Squirrel. That's who he called her, Squirrel. And he says, "I want you to know I'm the head of this ministry, but she's the neck that turns the head, you know." So he let that be known. And she tells me where we're going to go, where I'm going to preach. And at Christmas time, he had this big church. He knew he would get a big offering. And so during the week, Joanne came to him and she says, "We're not going to that big church this week." She says, "We're going to go down on Rosedale Street on I-35. And there's a little place right there in the homeless area. It's called The Slab, and it's a slab of concrete. And they give out food there." And he says, "They share the word right in the cold wind, and they set up a big old tent right there and get up under it if there's bad weather." He says, "Joanne," or he says, "Squirrel, now you know I'm not going to get a big offering there." He says, "We need to go to this other church. That's what we do every year." She says, "No, we're not. They invited us, and that's when I set the time, and that's when we're going to go." "Okay, Joanne. That don't make any sense to me, but we're going to go." He went that Sunday. He preached the gospel. People, all the homeless ones that were there that did not know the Lord, they came to the Lord. They fed them. And at the end of the service, there was a man that came up with a cowboy hat on. And he had Brother Hester described it as a vest, but it was like a sheep vest. It had the sheepskin and everything. Cowboy boots, blue jeans. And he had heard, Brother Hester may have mentioned that he was supposed to go someplace else, but he accepted this, or his wife did, and so this is where he was today. It touched that man. Come to find out, that man was a multimillionaire. And he gave Brother Hester at the end of service, he said, "Here's my business card." And he said, "This is my secretary's name and the phone number." And he says, "Your vision of supporting those missionaries in your retirement, you're going to continue to do that because you love them and care for them. Anywhere you go that requires an airlines," he says, "I will pay the tickets for the rest of your life." All he had to do was call that number. They got his airline tickets for he and his wife. Flew all over the world many times over. That's not the end of the story. Another person heard what he had done at the slab. I read it. I would not have believed it unless I had not read it in the Star Telegram. Someone gave him a check for $1 million to Jim Hester Ministries because they were so touched that he would go out there on that cold, windy day that did not make any sense and do that. That's not the end of the story. The owner of the Cadillac and Chevrolet dealership I think they had one in Decatur, one in Denton. I do not remember the man's name that has those dealerships. He contacted Brother Hester. "I heard your story." He says, "I want to give you a free Cadillac. You're going to have a new one to drive. I'll give you a new one every year." till you cannot drive any longer. James Wood. James Wood. And that's what he did. So when he drove up, you see him in that Cadillac, it was a God-given thing. Why? Because he obeyed the Lord. And it did not make any sense. I'm telling you, I don't want to miss out. You don't want to miss out on what God is ready to do for you if you'll just step out and obey when He tells you to do it. When and where and what? One more story. Brother North has shared this before. There was another little elderly gentleman. All of us remember Bishop Angle. It'd take too long to tell about his stories, I'm telling you. Little elderly gentleman, little small car, him and his adult daughter, and I think three or four poodles in this one little car, and they traveled around. And he was telling about also a story of where he would go close to the holidays. There was a big church he was invited to. He knew he would get a big offering. And so they went. That the Lord told him, you go ahead and go. Standing on the platform, Brother North, you'll remember the story. The Lord spoke to him. Here was hundreds of people in this congregation, well-to-do folks. He says, I want you to go down there, lay down on that ground, right down there in front of everybody, and I want you to roll to that side of the church. And then you roll back. Now, but Lord, that don't make any sense. He says, you know I'm about to get a good offering. And they won't ever have me back. That's right. If I do that. He says, but nevertheless, I'm going to obey you. What did he do? This little elderly gentleman got down there on that ground. I can't imagine it, but he rode all the way over here, all the way back. And all of a sudden, when he got up, came back up here, a young man way back at the back of the auditorium came running down. And he says, I want to be saved. He says, I'm an atheist. I do not believe in God. So when I walked in these doors today, I said, God, if you're real, I want you to have that minister roll across the front. He gave his heart to the Lord. He got saved right there. Would you do it for one soul? One soul. God honored that. Save that young man. I don't know the rest of the story. But over and over, because of Bishop Angle's obedience to that, and he came, we enjoyed having him. I remember one particular night, let's all stand together. One particular night, after the service, he got ready to leave. And they got to the gate ready to go out. Some of you may remember this story. And there was two or three other cars behind him. And he stopped right there in the middle of the gate. And it was probably 3 or 4 minutes. People were wondering, well, what is he doing? But he told us the next day, he says, when I got to that gate, he said there was two very large angels. And he says they were talking to me about new life. And they were telling him that new life is not one of those that's here one day and gone tomorrow. But they will be here and they're going to do a great work. And people will come through and be saved. And people will come and support the ministry for maybe a season and then go on. Others will come and be filled and be strengthened and go on. But my hand is upon this ministry. And so he shared that with us the next day. Awesome, awesome word. All I can say today is, can we determine from this point on that we will be listen to that voice and be obedient. Even when God does not make sense. Well, Lord, it just doesn't make sense. You know, those people over there in that car. That smoke is coming out of that car so strong. Lord, I just can't take it. You go over there. There were many a times, many of you remember Sister Mamie, little Indian lady. She was part of our congregation. You'd see her, I'd go up to David's, and there she was, her husband sitting in his truck. She had planned to go into the David's. She was over there into that window of that car praying for those people in that car. The Lord led her to go over there. She said, "Can I pray for y'all? The Lord just spoke to me." People just crying in the storm. She had obeyed the Lord. Did what she was supposed to do. When she got through praying for him, she went on in, got her groceries, and come back. Time after time. One more quick story. Her and a sweet little lady that we had come here and preach one time. Sister Cherry, what was her name over in Cleburne? Sister Johnson. They were to come, and we had canceled the prayer meeting. Darlene was not feeling well at that time. It was raining, and she, to be honest, Darlene was depressed. She didn't want to get out. She didn't want to come from back here. Come in here. And so, unbeknownst to us, we had called everybody except them. They sit out there in that parking lot, and they decided to pray. Whew. Now, they could have turned around and gone home, Brother Norman. But they decided to pray. And the longer they prayed, the spirit fell. And the joy of the Lord hit them. They said they stayed out there, I know, an hour, if not longer. Darlene sat in here and she looked at me. She says, "Marshall, I don't know what's happening, honey." She says, "But somebody's praying for me right now." And she says, "That just lifted off of me. The depression just lifted and went away." She says, "Somebody's praying for me. God just did it." Why? Because they obeyed. They could have easily gone to do something else for that next hour. Why waste your time sitting in this parking lot? Brother Charlie, why waste your time day after day sitting in this parking lot praying in your prayer language? Because you don't know what to pray, but God gives it to you to pray in your prayer language. And what have we found out? People driving by. One guy stopped at the food bank. Says, "I know that guy was praying for me. He came back. He turned around and came back to us. Had all of us told us. I knew he was praying for me. I just knew it." Man, we grabbed his hand. We prayed for him some more, didn't we? I'm telling you. I want to obey. I want to be obedient to the Lord. Don't try to second guess God. Don't ask for details. Listen, there is a time He'll give you a battle plan if He thinks you need it. But most of the time, it's one day at a time, one page at a time. You do this. When that's done, I'll show you the next step. Okay. Hallelujah. Would you take the person's hand next to you? Hallelujah. As a show of unity and in agreement with Lord, I thank you right now for your awesome presence. Oh, Lord, first of all, I ask you to forgive us for our unbelief. Forgive us for our doubt, for not trusting you in times past, that we've missed out on so much because we did not trust you. And we tried to do things on our own, and we failed miserably. So, Lord, I thank you. I thank you today for your mercy. And Lord, I'm just telling you today, God, from this point on, Lord, I want to do my very best to trust you, to walk in obedience. When you tell me what to do, when you show me what to do, where to go, what to say, whatever that involves, God, help me not to doubt you. but help me to step out on the water. In those raging floods, help me to step out. And Lord, if you've done it, if you did it for Joshua, you'll do it for us. You'll do it for me. You'll separate those waters. If you did it for Moses and the your children of Israel, you'll do it for us. So Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you as we come to the end of this year at corporately at New Life, Lord. Lord, one of the things that we're going to be determined to do is step out in faith. Not hold back, but walk in obedience. Do what you called us to do in this hour. And I thank you because there's blessings in our obedience. You're not wanting the sacrifice, you're wanting our obedience. So I thank you now that we're going to obey you. I praise you today. Lord, I just speak over every person here today. You see every person's life. You know what goes on and what's going on in each individual person's life here today and in their families. You see what they're dealing with from the youngest to the oldest. So, Lord, I just ask God that you would just continue to speak to us this week. Download into our spirit more concerning this word that you've given us today. And no, it may not make sense, but Lord, I'm going to trust you and I'm going to be obedient to your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you worship the Lord with a hand clap today? Hallelujah. God bless you. I love you. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. You go in the Holy Ghost today.